Anyway, I hope that everybody has had an awesome week. We are still in the series, One Nation Under God, this week. The last 2 weeks, the whole idea and purpose of this whole entire message series is that if we are believers, then we are citizens of heaven, and we are still living in this world, and how should we live in this world? In the first week, we looked at not letting the world take our identity, and we find our identity in Christ, and not letting the world defile us. So we take a stand and don't let the world defile us the way that it wants to. And Daniel and his friends did that by not taking the food from the king's table. And then last week, Daniel was in quite a predicament, along with all of the enchanters and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans of Babylon, because the king had come to him with a dream and said, "I want you to interpret this, but I'm not going to tell you the dream. I'm just going to tell you that I had one, and I want you guys to tell me what it was and what it means." And they said it was impossible, but it turns out that it wasn't impossible. Right? See, senor? So that brings us up to this week, and we're going to be looking at some things in Daniel chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole chapter of Daniel this time for time, because it went a little bit long this morning, so I want to stay within the time constraint, so I'm not going to read the entire chapter. So, this week what we're going to be looking at is taking a stand even whenever we know that we're going to be thrown into the fire, and who we'd want along with us whenever we go through the fires that life can throw at us. So, these kids, like, whenever I used to think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I used to think that they were probably like guys, right? But it turns out that they're young men. They're like 16 to 19 or whatever. They're very young. And so they've already been through quite a bit of stuff. Like, they've been taken out of Israel, plucked out of Israel and the life that they had there in the Jewish culture, and then taken over here to Babylon, which was a godless culture. Like, they could care less about anything godly. They worshipped all these idols and had all of these different gods, and they'd been taken out of this place and brought over to Babylon. But whenever you read about it, it's like Israel hadn't really been the way that they should be following the one God, so there was still quite a bit of a difference. And then they get there, and the very first thing is they're trying to make them eat things that they know that God said not to eat. So they get through that circumstance, and they hold on to their identity. They don't let the king defile them the way that he wants to. And because of their obedience in what God said, they were blessed. And so now we're looking at these guys. They're facing like a whole new situation. The king has built what it says is a 60 cubit high golden statue. And that is about 90 feet tall. So it's taller than me even. Very, very tall statue. And he said that as soon as you hear music playing, whether it's from a lyre or a harp or whatever, you are to bow down and worship this giant golden statue. And if you don't, then you're going to get thrown into a fiery furnace. So, here's all these people out there, statues out there, music starts playing, and everybody starts bowing down to worship this statue, except for three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're still standing. Even knowing the consequences, they're still standing. But then I start thinking, like, why would those three guys bow down to this 90-foot statue? And the reason I start thinking that is because I want to read you some passages here. I want to start with Genesis 1:1. This is what these guys knew. Like, they grew up knowing the Torah. They had to memorize the Torah by a certain age. So they knew these scriptures, and this is the God that they serve. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning on the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning on the third day. And we continue with these God says, like God just spoke things into existence. How many things do you think that the 90-foot-tall golden idol just breathed into existence? Any ideas? Zero. Nothing. These guys knew that God. I want to read you another scripture. This is from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. He said, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The psalmist said, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by his breath, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host, breathe stars, and their stars, galaxies, planets, everything out there, just from God breathing. And he's asking them to worship a little 90-foot-tall statue over there made out of gold. So I started thinking, like, whenever that music plays, why would they bow down before this 90-foot statue? I think that they were in a situation too where they had already made all of these enchanters and the Chaldeans, which were the astrologers and stuff. They were all angry at him because just before they had told the king, like, no man can tell you what this dream is and its interpretation. You're going to have to tell us what the dream is. But Daniel and his three friends, they prayed to the God that we just looked at, and he told him what the dream was, and he told him exactly what it meant. So these guys were put into places of high authority. Daniel was put over the kingdom of Babylon. He said, I don't want to be over Babylon. I want my friends over here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want them to be over Babylon, and I'm going to stay here in the king's court. So they did. But these other guys that had just got through saying, you know, that's impossible. Nobody, no man is possibly going to be able to tell you what your dream is. They were probably pretty jealous. So as soon as these guys were standing up out there and refusing to worship this statue, these other people ran off to the king's like, hey, there's these three guys over there, and they're saying that they're not going to worship this idol that you're, this statue that you made. So King Nebuchadnezzar starts getting angry, and he calls the guys into his court before him. And this right here is what he says. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I've made, all is well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? Oh, they're about to find out. But this is like their opportunity, right? We can relate this to today too. Like, this is their opportunity. He's saying, here's one last chance. If you'll just bow down, then we'll forget about this whole thing and move on with our lives. Just like the Christians over in Syria and Iraq that are having their heads chopped off, and they're given an opportunity to renounce Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and they're refusing to, and they're getting their heads chopped off, but they're given that chance. And I wonder, if I stood there, what would I do? And I want to believe with all my heart that I'd be like, nope, I'm not giving up everything that I can have in heaven for this stuff here, so go ahead and take off my head. So they were given that opportunity, but instead, this is how they answered, and this is the important part of the message today. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king. I love how he does that right there, how he's like, O king, like, whatever, kind of snarky almost, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Wow. So I know that my God is able to, that he's willing to, and even if he don't, I'm still not going to worship that statue. Probably ticked the king off pretty good. Matter of fact, we know that it did. The confidence that these guys had in God. It's just astounding. And there's people out there, and maybe even some people here today that are thinking that God can't save them. Like, I've done things. There's no way that God can save me. I have something going on in my life right now, and there's no way that God can save me from this. I'm going to have to do this myself. God's not going to get me out of this one. I've gotten myself into this. God is not interested in my problem that I've got right now. But I don't believe that. I believe that God is always, always with us. And this is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. The book of Daniel and this particular story is so awesome and moving for every believer out there. So it's one of my favorites, and it became one of my favorites over a song that I'm going to have them play at the end of this service by Shane and Shane. But God is like bigger than everything, and he loves us so much as individuals. He loves us so much that we can't even comprehend that type of love that he's got for us. And he still cares about every single one of us so much that he's counted the hairs on our heads. Some of us a lot less than others. He still knows about all 400 or so hairs on my head, Cheeto, and the 4 billion on Cheeto's head that grows out in a week. So God cares, man. It's unbelievable at how much he cares about us, and he will save us. He'll do that. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he can save you from anything? Anybody? God can save us from anything. Maybe not exactly the way that we want him to. Like, we may want to lay it out like this and say, God, I need you to take care of this thing, but I want you to do, you know, step one for you is like this, and then I want you to do this, and then this, and then whenever you get to here, I'm going to be happy, and that's the way that it needs to be done. If you do it any other way, though, it may work out, but not really the way that I want it to. But God always works out everything. So some of us are thinking, and this whole entire series, like, man, if we can get this candidate or that candidate or that candidate into the White House, then we can finally get the change that we need in our country. We can see the country begin to grow and thrive and do wonderful things. But what I'm starting to learn is that change doesn't begin in the White House. Change begins in our houses. We have to change our homes in the way that we do our homes, because before we can take a stand, we have got to take a knee and bow before God and humble ourselves before him and confess our sins to him and ask him to heal our land, and he'll heal our land. I believe that. I believe that it starts in our homes. So whatever is going on in you guys' world or in the world around us, everywhere the things going on, we all have things going on in our lives, some great things, some bad things. We're all dealing with stuff, right? Whatever it is that's going on around us, do you believe that God can save you? No matter what, no matter what's going on, that he's there and cares enough that it says that he will save us. Because if we don't think that God can save us from something, we haven't realized just how big he is, that he's that God that can breathe stars, that he's the God that formed the earth, that he is the God that created everything, that created each one of us, that that put us into our mother's womb and set us aside for a purpose. That's a pretty big guide. And we haven't even gotten to like the best part. It's what these guys said next that is the really important thing. The thing that they said next is what brings the realization to us of exactly how these guys felt about God. The next thing that they say is, O King, but if not, if God doesn't save us, then be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So even if God doesn't save me from this thing, even if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him anyway. Even if I don't get the job promotion that I want, I'm still going to serve God. Even if the relationship that I want to work out doesn't work out, I'm still going to serve God. Even if I feel like my life is in shambles and that there's nothing that I can do, nothing that I can change to make things better, I'm still going to serve God. Even if nothing is going my way at all in this world, I'm still going to serve God. Even if, I'm still going to serve God. No matter what the situation is, I'm still going to serve my God, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. So if you have godly faith, you know that your identity is in Christ. That's where we find it. And in the first week, we talked about the way that God sees us. And that's way different than we can see ourselves somehow. He loves us so much that he went to the cross. We can't let the world define us, because the world's going to define us by all kinds of other means, right? The world's going to say that we're poor, that we have too big of ears. The world is going to say that we're not smart enough. The world is going to say all of these negative things to try to drill into us, unless we are one of the wealthy that is or a big actor, and then they're going to be looking at us with some honor. Other than that, the world may destroy us. And even some of the actors, right? A lot of them, they're at their prime and they've fallen, right? And suddenly the media is going nuts talking about how terrible they are, even though all the things that they accomplished in their time. But we need to recognize that with God, nothing is impossible. But with man, there's a lot of things that just aren't possible. So these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're standing there before this king and his court in a very, very serious situation. If they don't bow down and worship the idol that he set up, this big image, then he's going to throw them into the fire. And they've said, we ain't going to do it. So the king gets ticked off. And he's like, I want you guys to go out there and heat up that furnace to 7 times hotter than what it's ever been before. And then I want you to throw these guys in there. They're going to learn a lesson. We're going to watch them burn. So now, these guys that are charged with throwing them in there, they can't even hardly get close. Like these guys are dying trying to get them into this furnace, and they get them into the furnace, and it says in Daniel that several of the people trying to put them in there died just trying to get them to the fire. Like, that's how hot that was. And I've been around a lot of like bonfires and things where it's kind of hot. I can't even imagine how hot this furnace must have been that these guys were getting thrown into. And again, sometimes in life we feel like there's all this heat and all this pressure and all this anxiety around us over things going on. We're right in the middle of this fire, and we can't seem to see a way out of it because the heat is so powerful that it feels like it's killing us. But as King Nebuchadnezzar was looking into that fire and looking for those three guys so that he can watch them burn, he goes, hold up, wait a second. Like, those guys are in there walking around. There's a fourth guy in there with them, just walking around inside of there. What in the world is going on? And that fourth guy, he looks like the Son of God in there. Let those guys out. Let them out. So they go up there and they let the three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they come out of this fire. That whenever King Nebuchadnezzar had seen the Son of God in there with them, it was the Son of God. Because it seems to me in my life and in the different things that I've had go on, that whenever the fire is turned up is whenever Jesus really shows up for me. He's there all the time, but whenever things are really bad and I'm really, really relying on Him, that's when Jesus is right there giving me comfort and letting me know that He's there and that He's got this. So whenever you're in a fire, if you serve God, then you want people to be able to look at that crisis that you're in. Whatever the case may be, you want people to be able to look in to your world, into that fire that you have going on, and see Jesus in that with you, right? Am I the only one that wants that? That people see that I have faith in Christ no matter what my circumstance is, and that He's always right there with me. So whenever I'm in the hardest times, and I know some of you guys have been through some really hard times here lately, but I see Jesus walking around along with you guys. I see that, and that's what everybody should want, to see Jesus right there with them whenever they're in those fires. Another thing is, do you know what the change was whenever they came out of the fire? You know what it says? Like, they didn't even smell like smoke. There was no burns on them. There was nothing to say that they'd been in a fire, except for the ropes that were binding them up were gone. So whenever you go through a fire with Jesus with you, all the things that are binding you up are loosed. You're set free. No longer bound by any of that junk that's been taking care of you, because God loves you so much that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So whenever they came out, that would be so awesome to be able to have been there and seen the faces on those guys out, because the king was so amazed whenever they came out of there and there was, the ropes were gone and they were singed, like nothing was wrong, that he said on that very day, on that day in Babylon, that Babylon would serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So through three guys, three young boys, that very day revival was brought to Babylon. Isn't that amazing? So a godless, hopeless, desperate society was brought to their knees that day because God became real to them. God was recognized, and they were changed because of that. So I ask you guys, like, what would happen if just, like, there's more than three of us in here today. What would happen if just our little group that we have inside of the church here left this building today and took a stand for Jesus, that we in our homes were praying to God to bring revival, to bring healing to this land that we live in? What would happen if we took this story from Daniel and applied it into our lives in such a way? He said, I don't want any of the idols of this world, no matter what they are. God's going to save me from this. He is able to, He is willing, and even if He doesn't save me from this, I'm still not going to worship anybody else. What if we decided that, like, we all look at this election and we all think, you know, if we get this person there, that person, this person, these things are going to happen. But I guarantee that no matter who makes into office this year, that there's going to be no immediate changes, but we're going to be praying for these changes that we would like to see, right? But what would happen if we decided that it doesn't really matter if changes happen immediately, like what we're looking for, that we're still going to serve God? That whenever our life is under the pressures that we have with our daily lives at work, family, friends, relationships, everything out there, that we're still going to serve Him. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We can do this because nothing is impossible with God. A neat quote that I saw this week is, we need to stand for God because He will never let you fall. Do you believe it? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So let's take a stand today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You today. God, we're just people. We're fallen human beings that we love You. We want to honor You with every aspect of our lives. God, it is amazing at what you did through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, we know that you can save us from anything that goes on in our lives. We know that you're willing to save us from anything going on in our lives. God, give us the strength to say that even if you don't come through, then we're still going to serve you. That's bold faith, Lord. God, I want to lift up everybody in this room here today for strength, for boldness, to not be ashamed to live their lives for you. God, we want to lift up the people in government. God, that they would turn to you, that they would love you over everything. God, help us to live our lives in such a way that whenever we are going through something that's just crazy, that people will look at our lives and the situation that we're going through, and that they will see you there walking beside us. And God, that whenever we come out of that situation, that on the other side, our chains are gone, that we're no longer bound up by anything. We know that you're in control of everything. And we thank you for that. God, help us to live our lives so that we look more like you. It's hard. God, it's hard to live in this world and not be defiled by it. But with you, nothing is impossible. God, I just ask that you would break us. Break us so that you can rebuild us again. Show us how to love you more. Show us how to love our friends and family and those around us more. God, show us how we can work for you so that we can do the things that you would have us do. Help us to recognize that this life is about you, that this is your story that we're part of. Thank you for the example that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego set for us. God, more than anything, though, more than anything, in the entire book that we call the Bible, your word, we thank you for Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that he lived that life that was perfect, with no faults. And at the end of that perfect life, that he still got onto that cross, that he let them crucify him, go through a painful, painful death so that we could be saved by his sacrifice once and for all. God, we are so thankful that that's not where his story ended. That 3 days later, you raised him up from that grave into a new life, the same new life that you give to all of us when we put our faith, when we put our trust into you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in all these things, in Jesus' name. Amen.